Wayne was trending. What happened there? He didn't pass away, did he? All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's keep going with, again, something. What we're seeing here, all these videos from the last few days, you just saw Charlie Kirk again wrestling with this frustration that he's expected to defend Israel in just the most absurd situations. And he's getting in trouble with his donors for having on anti-Israel voices like Dave Smith, despite the fact that if you're not having those voices on, you're not really a part of the conversation online. Here's General Flynn, number 7, again, saying something very similar to Charlie Kirk, expressing once again, I'm your biggest supporter, and I can't help you with this. Again, notice the underlying, I feel like there's an underlying sense of terror in a lot of these people. Where it used to be pretty easy. You supported Israel, you're pretty much good. Now these people are like, I don't know what to do because supporting Israel ruins my credibility. But if I don't support Israel, it's like the reason we have manners and politeness and etiquette. People like knowing what they're supposed to do. And they go, you know what? As long as I do what I'm societally obligated to do, then I'll be good. And people like knowing I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So there's like this rule of etiquette where it's like you're pro-Israel. You're supposed to be pro-Israel and you never question Israel. So they were comfortable in that. When you know the rules of etiquette, you're comfortable in that situation. Now they've come along and said, actually, the rules of etiquette have changed. And we aren't quite sure what they are anymore. And so now they're not quite sure. Well, do I put my hands in my pockets? Where does the fork go? What? I'm uncomfortable now. I don't know exactly what the rules are. I used to know what I needed to do. Now I don't. What are the new rules? Please tell me. They don't know what the new rules are, and that's terrifying. Let's go to clip number 7 here.
And I know that there's some machinations, and there's got to be some big, big problems right now internal, and Netanyahu's dealing with it with the IDF. They're going to have to do some soul searching, and I mean immediate soul searching, because the 7th of October was a date, that they still have not been able to. And there's an investigation going on, and I've already heard from some of the soldiers that were told to stand down in the exact hours. So something bad happened. And it was an inside thing. I don't know. That's a bombshell right there. So the internal situation in Israel has got to be done with a.
Hold it. Hang on. Whoa. Hang on. You can't drop a bomb like that. Mike Flynn, your former head of DIA, first national security advisor, President Trump, a revered figure globally. You're saying your sources are telling you on the investigation that they're trying to slow down and slow walk over there because we're coming up on the second anniversary of it. You're saying that you're hearing there's testimony or documents or actual evidence that certain elements of the Israeli military were told to stand down? Because I know from people I know, this is a very contentious area and it's going to be explosive. Are you hearing the same thing?
Steve, you can go back to interviews that I did like the next day and the following week after October 7th in multiple broad alternative media where I said something went wrong because, Steve, I have personally walked that border. I have been down at those areas, and I know the details of how the Israelis, one of the most secure borders in the world, how they do their operations. So I know that. So something broke down, and it wasn't because of mistakes. So that's number one. This internal machinations that are going on right now, what's going to have to happen? They're going to have to come to grips with this because I'm going to tell you, the American people, they're getting tired of it. They're getting tired of this constant, Israel. I mean, I'm the biggest fan. I have been to Israel many times. I have, served alongside them. I have done things with them, certainly on the intelligence side. So I'm their biggest fan. But the American people are not. And the American people are so tired of all of the craziness and our involvement in
And so there you say, he's talking about the, investigation into October 7th. We know already, I mean, there was a 6 hour at least up to 24-hour stand-down order given. They moved the site of the concert without telling anybody the day before. The IDF was told to stand down. It was a complete setup. They needed the excuse they needed to annex Gaza, and this has been the goal the entire time. It's not complicated.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesShow.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought on the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support, because we cannot do this without you.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
And I think this is sort of confirmation of my supposition, because you got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has proven herself to not be a coward, has proven herself to be very, you know, outspoken and upfront when the truth demands it. She's not one who's willing to, you know, go along with lies, you know, for the sake of convenience. She's not having, you know, a crisis of conscience in telling the truth, unlike the way some of these other guys are acting. And I, you know, they gotta be panicking right now. Cause again, the anti-Israeli sentiment is just rising higher and higher. And I'm just trying to think, like, strategically, you know, if you're Charlie Kirk, or if you're one of the, you know, Zionist backers of Charlie Kirk, like, what do you even do at this point? I mean, what I would do would be to stop starving people to death, and that would be a good step one. But since they're not going to do that, what else would be step? What else would they do? And that has to be the understanding here, right? Whenever, you know, they're like, "Oh, we have to support them," whatever. It's like the other option is just they can just stop killing people. It's really not that complicated. You know, I was making the joke the other day where, you know, the GOP is going, "Oh, we're freaking out the youth. We're losing the youth. The youth isn't pro-Israel. What do we do? What are we going to do to win them back?" And then they just cover up the Epstein files. And then they provide Israel with $500 billion in super death missiles. And then we defend them at the UN. And then we threatened to invade The Hague because the ICC declared they were guilty of war crimes. And they just, like, keep doing things. And then they just turn around and go, "What? It's not working. They're still anti-Israel. Maybe we do more for Israel." And it's like, you can just stop doing that at any point. So you just have to understand, like, all of these soul searching, these, you know, people going, "Oh, what are we going to do? The GOP is being fractured by this Israel topic." It's all predicated on, like, how do we stop the bleeding while not changing our behavior at all? How do we stop them talking about what we're doing, but we still keep doing it? You can stop doing it at any point. Israel's worried about its reputation. Stop starving all the Gazans to death, please. It's not complicated. It's not hard. So it's like, that's like the unspoken thing here, is every time they go, "What do we do about the Israel support collapsing?" The thing they're not saying is, while continuing to support a genocide that Israel's committing, which makes it a whole different question, right? When you preclude the obvious answer, it gets real, a lot more difficult to answer. Let's go to clip two here, where again, Marjorie Taylor Greene shows us where we are. She's a little locator. "You are here" star on the map, saying we're in the place now where the obvious truth is finally breaking through. We're finally, again, maybe for the first time in my life, people are looking into the news camera and they're telling us what is obvious and imminently true in contradiction to the official story. And this is a very interesting place to be. Let's watch.
Tell you what, six months in, Steve, and here we are turning back on the campaign promises, and we bombed Iran on behalf of Israel. Yes, it was on behalf of Israel. We're entering a nuclear war, the World War III, because the entire world is going to erupt. And you want to know the people that are cheering it on right now? Their tune is going to drastically change the minute we start seeing flag-draped coffins on the nightly news, on Fox News that brainwashes all the baby boomers, and on CNN that brainwashes all the Democrat baby boomers. And that is exactly how this is going to go down.
So again, you know, yeah, we know we bombed Iran for Israel. We bombed Iran for the sake of Israel. Yeah, no, and it's amazing that a congresswoman is saying that. I don't know what this portends exactly, but I do like where we're headed. I like where we're headed. So again, the video that we just saw from General Flynn said this. Israeli military insiders confirmed to General Flynn they were told to stand down on October 7th. General Mike Flynn breaks down intel claiming the Israeli military purposefully stood down during the attacks of October 7th, largely the catalyst for the destruction of Gaza. And it's actually worse than that, right? They didn't stand down alone. It wasn't just a stand down order. When the stand down order was lifted 6 hours into the attack, when the IDF was unleashed on the Hamas infiltrators, they approached the area with Apache helicopter gunships and tanks and did a large portion of the murdering that day. So a stand down is one thing, and if that's all that happened, it would already be bad. But no, they maximized the impact of this false flag attack by actually carrying it out themselves. And you might be under the assumption that this is like when you claim things like this, I get that it is. It's a pretty intense claim to make. It's a pretty crazy claim if you hadn't considered it yet to hear for the first time, hey, Israel allowed themselves to be infiltrated, allowed their own people to be slaughtered, allowed their own people to be kidnapped and taken back to be hostages. But that is absolutely 100% confirmed what they did. And it's really not even a debate. Even just from the official stories that we have, it's obvious that this is the case. Just the sheer fact that it took them 6 to 7 hours to respond, like that's not possible without deliberate delay taking place. But I want to put a video here. I'll drop a video in the folder that I want to show you. And I'm going to show you another couple of videos too, because I think people, again, just constantly underestimate the ability and willingness, specifically of Israelis, to engage in the most brazen deception you can possibly imagine. To an extent that it's almost admirable. I mean, to the extent that it's like, who would ever even think to pull off these scams? I mean, look at the pager thing. It's like, who comes up with this idea? Who comes up with this idea to hijack the supply chain so you can plant explosives in pagers for eventual detonation years down the line? Like, it's like the video that we played. I think it was Konstantin Kissin talking about a game called Werewolf that was played in the Soviet Union. And the idea was that basically whoever knew the information just always won. There'd be, you know, a piece of information. It was a game everybody played. You try to identify who the werewolf was, and the werewolf would just always win. Always, always, always. Because they knew the secret that nobody else knew. And the metaphor is about how knowing, you know, having secret knowledge gives you just an incredible leg up in conflict. Especially when the other side isn't even looking for your lie, isn't even expecting you to lie, doesn't even know they're playing the game. And what I've said for a while now, because it seemed like at a certain point about a year ago, the tide was shifting a little bit and they were being forced to react to us. The globalists, the mainstream media, we were setting the agenda and they were having to react. And that really is the ultimate sort of decide, right? We're sort of in this endless war. It's an information war. It's a war for human liberty. There will never be a point that we can all just go, liberty is established. It'll never come under threat again. Let's relax, right? There will always be. So in order to determine who's winning, it really determines who at that point has the initiative. Who is the one doing things that the other side is reacting to? And forever, for my entire life and longer, the Republicans, the conservatives are always on the back foot. We're always responding. And the mindset we need to get into is setting the agenda, is doing things that they have to respond to, is not waiting for them to do something and trying to counteract it, but doing something to them and forcing them to counteract. And it's a theme that I, you know, is in like everything that I talk about, because that is the, like you can delay defeat, but you can never win if you don't have the initiative. You have to have the initiative. You have to be the one on the forefront. And that's what the Israelis are really, really, really good at. Is it rise and kill first, right? That's their statement. Take the initiative. That's what that means. And so that's what they do. So when you talk about the Israelis maybe allowing their own people to be hurt or killed in order to justify the Gaza invasion, absolutely, unquestionably, something they would be willing to do. Because at the end of the day, it's all power games anyway. And while it might be convenient and useful for them to, you know, uphold Israeli pride when convenient, they are perfectly willing to sacrifice all of you to achieve their ends. Don't think for a second that they actually care about anybody of any race, color, or creed. Some people just have an ethnic component that is useful to them at times, and they'll weaponize that when necessary. So let's go to this video. This is clip number 21. This is just an example of the strategies deployed against the Palestinians in this irregular warfare. I'm not sure when this clip was from. I believe it's from a few years ago. But it's Palestinians gathered sort of behind a roadblock and they're throwing rocks at the IDF. But then something very strange happens. The whole dynamic shifts. Let's watch.
For at least half an hour, the four men had been throwing stones at Israeli soldiers as part of a group of Palestinians. Then they took out their pistols and opened fire on the group of protesters they'd been standing alongside moments before. According to the AFP journalist who filmed what happened at the Beit El checkpoint outside Ramallah, a cry of Mustarabin soon spread through the 100-strong crowd. It's a word that describes people who disguise themselves as Arabs. In the footage, the infiltrators are seen beating a man and shooting their guns before being joined by Israeli soldiers in uniform.
All right, so you've got IDF soldiers dressed up in disguise as Arabs or as Palestinians going and joining the Palestinians for an hour, throwing rocks with the Palestinians. So you've got these IDF guys throwing rocks at IDF soldiers. Maybe they started throwing the rock. You know, maybe they started the rock throwing. You know, maybe this was just a classic agent provocateur operation where the Palestinians were gathered. Maybe they weren't throwing rocks. So you send a couple of fake Palestinians in to start the rock throwing to justify the armed response that you had intended in the first place. So it's sort of a microcosm of what we witnessed on October 7th. I mean, they were throwing rocks at IDF officers. Those IDF officers were throwing rocks at the other IDF soldiers to make the disguise look convincing. It's false flag after false flag. So what you just saw there was a perfectly illustrated example of a false flag. So we say a million times, in a false flag situation, the only thing false is the flag. The attacks are real. The violence is real. They will commit violence against themselves to justify an attack. Okay, so that's just one example of the tactics being deployed in this irregular warfare. We'll go to another because we have this other story from the New York Times. On the hunt for spies, Iran executes a nuclear scientist Farnaz Fasihi has lived and worked in Iran, has covered the country for 3 decades, and as a war correspondent in the Middle East for 15 years. So this article is by this guy. Iran executed one of its nuclear scientists on Wednesday over allegations that he was a spy for Israel and had facilitated Israel's assassination of another nuclear scientist during the country's wars in June, according to the judiciary news outlet Mizan. The judiciary said the scientist, Ruzbeh Vadi, had worked in one of the country's most sensitive and important nuclear sites and had access to the type of classified information sought by Iran's enemies. Mr. Vadi was executed by hanging after he was found guilty of espionage and providing information to Israel, the judiciary said. So they assassinated 30 Iranian senior military commanders and 11 nuclear scientists. And of course, everything was happening so quickly. We never really had time to investigate exactly how they carried some of this out. But even at the time, there were pretty amazing stories of just how deeply Mossad had infiltrated Iran and had gotten into the highest ranks of its scientific establishment, or that it was there on the ground directing, you know, where missiles should land, giving exact coordinates, even up to not just the apartment building, but the exact apartment number on the exact floor so they could hit, you know, their targets with precision, showing, of course, also tangentially that their claims of, you know, being incapable of precision targeting Hamas are absolutely ridiculous. But more importantly, about the level of infiltration that had already taken place into Iranian society. I want to go to another video here, again, expressing just the level of infiltration that Israel is routinely capable of. And this is not a rare occasion. I was reading a book called Warriors of God. It's the history of Hezbollah. And there are stories in that where it's like there will be some Lebanese contingent of the army. It's an official, right, like, you know, core of the Lebanese army, funded by Lebanon. Lebanese tax dollars go towards their training and their uniform and everything. But the commander of that battalion is just an Israeli person. And they just do this. It's like, it's crazy what they're capable of. But yeah, like years later, it comes out, oh, the guy who was the Lebanese commander of the Lebanese battalion, the entire time he was receiving orders directly from the IDF, and he was a uniformed officer of the IDF the entire time. So what you had was the people of Lebanon arming and funding essentially a battalion of the IDF that they thought was theirs. They, you know, this is sort of a regular thing. Here's a particularly extreme example of this, clip number 9, how an Israeli dry cleaner nearly became the Secretary of Defense for Syria. Let's watch.
In the 50s, the early 60s, there's this guy, Eli Cohen. He like works in a dry cleaners in Tel Aviv, and he applies to Mossad because, you know, it sounds exciting. And they're like, yeah, thanks. We don't have any openings for dry cleaning clerks. But he spoke absolutely perfect, accentless Arabic. Call him back a couple of years later, and they said, hey, we decided we do want to hire you for Mossad. So they hire him, and they said, we want you to move to Syria. We're going to give you money, and we want you to wine and dine all the movers and shakers in Syria and secretly report back to us. He was so good that he ends up being considered to be the deputy minister of defense of Syria. So the Russians, the KGB, said to the Syrians, there's something about this guy that's not right. So the Russians started to surveil him. He didn't see the surveillance. And he had collected classified information. He was secretly transmitting it back to the Israelis. And the Russians picked up the radio burst, the transmission. And so they were able to triangulate the source of the transmission, and his house was right in the center. And they got him, and they hung him in the main square in Damascus. He's a huge hero in Israel. There are schools and streets named after him and all kinds of stuff. He was going to be the deputy minister of defense of Syria. He's a friggin' Israeli citizen and an Israeli Mossad spy. And then they did the same thing in Egypt around the time of the Suez Crisis. So, you know, where we at the CIA sit around a table and like to think that we're so smart and we're coming up with these outside the box, I hate that term, but these outside the box operations. we could never come up with something like what the Israelis come up with.
Why not? Well, what? Why not? Why couldn't we come up with something like that? It's not in our nature. Oh, but just why not, though? Honestly, why not? I mean, it's not that hard. You just try to do as much as possible, and sometimes it works. In that case, it works spectacularly well. Do you think that we're trying anything like that? But I think also the other important thing to understand is exactly how the on the ground, you know, function of this infiltration takes place. As I've explained many times, when it comes to somebody like Jeffrey Epstein, he went through exactly the same process that Israeli dry cleaner went through. Just some guy has some skill that's useful. In the case of the dry cleaner, it was, you know, the language. Maybe in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, he had some, you know, weird charisma that made people trust him. Whatever it was, he was identified. He'll be the useful guy. And so then you establish him by giving him a ton of money. And that's pretty much it. So they did with the dry cleaner, right? Here's a ton of money. You are now a mover and a shaker. Go introduce yourself to high society. We got people already in there who can facilitate your egress, who can introduce you to everybody you need to know. And now you are established. Here's your background. And here's a big chunk of change. And it's as simple as that. And you just do that 10,000 times, and one of them is going to break through. One of them is going to get appointed to a high-powered position. One of them is going to find an angle of attack that's useful. And you're coordinating probably hundreds of these types of people who are all feeding back progress reports every week. So then you can actually coordinate your manipulation, right? So now you can have, let's say you've got this dry cleaner guy who's worming his way into the, you know, national security apparatus in Syria. Maybe you got another guy that's already embedded there. And maybe you use the dry cleaner guy to burn the other guy to confirm that he is who he says he is, right? It's not hard to come up with this type of stuff, right? Maybe this dry cleaner guy, people are starting asking questions. All right, we need some that'll calm their nerves. Syria's getting suspicious. We got to allay their suspicions. I know. Let's burn another one of our spies. We got this other spy that's in there. How about our dry cleaner guy exposes him and turns him over? And then we burn that spy and people go, oh, okay, the dry cleaner guy must not be Mossad because he just sold out a Mossad operator. This stuff isn't hard. I mean, it's not hard to lie. It's not hard to trick people. It's not hard to deceive. It's not hard to infiltrate if that's what you want to do. It's just we don't really do it that much. We don't really do that often. And you can debate as to why, but I don't think this is some sort of, what I'm trying to express is that, like, you've got this guy, Eli Cohen, you know, almost becoming the Secretary of Defense for Syria. And there's a lot of this stuff where, like, they'll release Mossad assassination videos and things like this. So once you think, oh my God, these guys are so good. They blew up all of these pagers. Oh my God, they're so capable. Like, it's not hard to do evil, y'all. It's not hard to lie. It's not hard to plant bombs on civilians. Like, this isn't impressive. It's just bad. It's just deceptive, trickery, evil. And you're just taking advantage of people's trust. Well done. I'm so impressed.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP, and you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great, people love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
The power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal, infowars.com/show. Share these links on X and any way that you can help get this information out there. Of course, as always, everything that we do is free to air. Take it down, clip it up, upload it yourself. You can make money as a clip channel pretty easily on X. All you need is 1 million views. You can get that with one video if it's good enough. I hinted at it a little bit yesterday on the Moonbase stream, but I'm gonna start doing a contest for clippers. If you clip something out and get a lot of views on it, send you a prize of some sort. I don't know. We got to figure it out. I think that'd be a fun thing for the audience to get involved in. But you can get involved in it anyway. You can set up your own referral link to really maximize your gains. We want to spread the wealth. We also want to spread the word, spread the news. That's why all of this is always free to air. No copyright. Upload it yourself. Download it. Repackage it. Re-edit it. Make money off it. Do whatever you can. The point is the information. And winning the information war. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. I thought it ended yesterday, but apparently it's been extended. The 2-for-1 sale that I'm surprised is still going on, because this really is a gigantic sale. It's buy one, get one on pretty much everything on the site. All supplements, all apparel, the incredible shirts, the incredible hats, the incredible supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit Complete, the Ultimate Life Force, the Atomic Defense, the Power Drive, the Methyl Drive, all of it. Buy one, get one free, as long as you're a VIP member. Of course, sign up to be a VIP member, you're basically given an extra, free $10 to the store. So if you want my advice, even if you don't want to be a regular VIP member, which I think you should anyway, because you get access to a bunch of sales and you get access to the archives of the Alex Jones Show all the way back to the early 2000s. So you can have that historical archive. You can put it in a safe underground somewhere so it can persist long into the future. So there's lots of reasons to join the VIP club. But if you want my advice, and if you don't want to stay joined, just join for this month. Pay $30, get $40 in-store credit. Do a buy one, get one, sale deal on the supplement. And you're basically getting $80 worth of product for $30. And it helps us stay on air and in the fight and continue to fearlessly tell the truth about any and all topics currently embroiled in the chaos of deceit that surrounds us endlessly. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Trump and Israel. I'm going to go to a video of Alex Jones talking about Trump and Epstein, but of course, all of this is intertwined. These are all various aspects or facets of the same overall topic. And before I go to the Alex's video about Trump and Epstein, I want to go to a different video about Trump. Now, this ties into a statement he made yesterday. Trump yesterday made a statement saying Operation Warp Speed was the greatest thing anybody's ever done in history, right? And maybe this is just a good time to remind everybody, Trump is in fact a human man. He is in fact a man. He is in fact a human being. I know Alex talks about it all the time, where he says, people get mad at Alex for not covering something. And he's like, I cover everything I see. I don't see everything. But people blame you. They go, you're not covering this. You must be covering it up. And it's like, I missed it. I'm sorry. I must have missed that particular story out of the thousands I look at every day. That one slipped through the cracks. I'm sorry, I'm not a superhuman. People treat Trump that way too. Oh, Trump is wrong about something? It can't be that it's wrong. He must be deceitful. He must be tricking everybody. He knows the truth, but he's got some major scam. Or maybe it's just he's doing the best he can. Maybe his information is limited. Maybe he doesn't even know his information is limited. Maybe he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And maybe instead of condemning Trump, we can try to educate him, because we know damn near 100% of the time, he'll correct himself. He'll change his outlook. He'll change his perspective. Especially when he sees the audience react to it. And remember, he got Ross Ulbricht out. He pardoned Ross Ulbricht pretty much entirely because of the volume of cheers when he was at the Libertarian Convention. He mentioned Ross Ulbricht, the whole place exploded, and that lodged in his mind. He went, wow, these guys really love this guy. And they'll really love me if I free him. I better do that. And you can see, his trajectory deviate when something like that happens. When he understands through his crowd's reaction, what he's supposed to be doing, he'll follow that instruction. He'll follow that path. And it's very interesting to see. So I thought this was really an incredible video, because it confirms what we've assumed the entire time. And if you remember back in 2020, 2021, 2022, I was constantly advocating this exact thing, saying you got to go to Trump rallies. If you're in a Trump rally, you got to be the one who stands up during a time of silence and yells, we hate the vaccine. The vaccine is poison. You've got to get this to Trump, because he's being firewalled. He's being barricaded from learning this stuff. But he goes to rallies and you have a chance to interface with him in real life and circumvent the controls that he's under. So again, it shows, on one hand that he hasn't, fully learned the lessons that he should have of his last administration. He still doesn't understand that Operation Warp Speed was a gigantic trap that he fell right into. And that's upsetting and disappointing. But this video, I think, is incredible and confirms what we suspected about Trump the entire time. And I think it's a good segue into Alex talking about Jeffrey Epstein, as well as this story, Trump approval rating dips in new UMass Amherst poll, basically showing he has a, quote, erosion of support among the president's most reliable group of supporters. That is men, in particular young men. His support is eroding. He probably doesn't understand why. And as absurd as that might seem to you, he is the president of the United States and is busy with a lot of other crazy stuff. And maybe just doesn't understand the true level or quality or volume of the sentiment against Israel right now. But this is him talking about Operation Warp Speed and a story about him from back when the pandemic was still in full swing. Let's go to clip 19 here.
We're sitting there and everybody's eating their food and President Trump is not present at this time. And he's talking to the senators and talking about really important stuff. And I'm just minding my own business going, I don't know how I got in this room. Well, okay. I'm sitting elbow to elbow with him. It's about an hour into dinner. I hadn't said a word, just been listening. And Trump gets through eating, and you've seen him do this move right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever in the big boardroom he does this. Okay, that's what he does. He goes, can I ask you a question, John Rich? He never calls me John. John Rich. I look at him, I go, yes, sir. What's the question? He goes, well, you do a lot of big shows. Like, you're an entertainer. Yes, sir. You play for really big crowds. I go, I do. I play for really big crowds for a long time. He goes, well, have you seen these rallies I'm doing? Like, it's 30, 40,000 people. I said, yeah, it's unbelievable. He goes, so here's the question. Why are people booing me at my rallies when I bring up the vaccine?
Mm.
This is the question from the president of the United States. A guy who is very proud at that moment of the fact that he was able to stomp the gas pedal and get that thing out because he's under the impression this is going to fix the problem.
Operation Warp Speed.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a guy who, to his own admission, one of the biggest egos on the earth.
Yeah.
And he's very proud of this. And I respect him to... There is no limit.
Right.
But I'm being asked a very direct question. And so, man, I went, looked at him, and I said, okay, I'm going to tell you the answer, and you're not going to like it. He goes, okay, what's the answer? You're going to look at me like this? I said, let me start off by saying this. We, the American people, do not trust the people that you were forced to trust at the time when this was happening. Let's start there. And I said, by the people we don't trust, here's who I mean. The FDA, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, Fauci, and all the rest of them. I said, Mr. President, we consider them to be a bunch of murderous, depopulationist psychopaths.
And his reaction was...
That's a good way to start.
His eyes are... He goes, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's
stunned.
Impression.
No, he is stunned that I said that. I said, now, let me tell you why they're booing you. I said, because all of them, including me, I said, I would boo you. I would boo you.
Did you really?
You did not.
I would boo you.
Really?
If you brought that up, and here's why. And he's looking at me, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the last time this guy's going to invite me to anything.
Yeah.
He's never going to call me again. I'm throwing massive shade on a former president's, in his mind, one of his biggest accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, nobody had told the man what I was telling him right now, because they all work for him. They all got something to gain from him. Yes. They're not going to tell him this because they're not serving him well. I don't work for him. And I think a lot of him, and I want him to understand the truth about it. So I said, here's the problem. Here's why they're booing you, Mr. President, because every human being out in that rally, either themselves or they know someone directly who has been harmed by the vaccine or has even died from it, including me. I said, I got members of my own family who were forced to take it against their will to keep their jobs, and now they've got all kinds of problems. Big problems, heart problems, mm-hmm. lung problems. And he's looking at me, and he looks around the table, and he goes, this is unbelievable. I mean, he goes, has anyone else heard this? Herschel Walker, he was running for Senate at the time. He goes, Mr. President, I mean, down in Georgia, my constituents come up at my rallies, and what John just said, man, I hear it every single day. Mm-hmm. Looks over at Marcia. Marcia's sitting there going, you know, looks around the table, and then Lindsey Graham, who's sitting across. So you're here, or I'm here, I'm sorry, but you're Lindsay. Lindsay.
I'm Lindsay Graham,
and you're me. Okay. As I'm going into the part where I said, even in my own family, I have Lindsey Graham busts in with it swishing his Chardonnay around and said, Mr. President, if you listen to conspiracy theorists like John Rich, the Democrats are going to take credit for what you did and they're going to beat you in the next election with it.
So
I'm looking at Trump and he's sitting over there and he does that. And I looked at him and I said, do not interrupt me when I'm speaking. Do you understand me? He looked at me and he goes, well, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I go, yeah, but you did.
Oh.
So.
Right now you look like Wyatt Earp. And it's
very intimidating. Trump is right here. You're Lindsey Graham, okay? I go, I'm holding him.
Oh, good. Yeah. You're Lindsey Graham.
I'll let back up as the president. I look at him one more time. I go, now let me finish what I was saying.
Ooh. Oh, man.
And then I finished it.
So that's okay. John Rich talking about Trump asking, why am I being booed at my own rallies? Why are they booing me? I think that is just that's one of those brilliant pieces of tape I've ever seen. Understanding Trump's confusion. Totally, he never heard about the side effects of the vaccine. That had been totally, he had been totally sequestered from that information. Lindsey Graham interrupting, calling him a conspiracy theorist. Oh, for the politics, you got to accept the... I mean, it really lays out the various influences on Trump, who he's hearing from, what he's hearing, what he's not hearing. And I'm sure he recognizes this too. I also wonder if John Rich's way that he put it maybe didn't hurt him a little bit, coming that hard, going, Fauci's a depopulationist who wants to kill us all. Not everybody's ready to hear that right off the bat. You got to ease them into that. Here's Alex Jones talking about Donald Trump's struggles with Jeffrey Epstein. Let's watch.
My job is to research things, to have sources that have been accurate over the years that I go back to, and to have a large grasp of history, and to then try to bring you the best analysis I can on all the major issues of our day. And my job is usually very easy because I've been researching for over 35 years, I'm on air with 31, and I've got a good grasp, an excellent grasp on most things. But this Trump Epstein stuff is a real whodunit mystery. And it's a real life soap opera. Now, we know Epstein was Mossad, involved with the CIA as well. And we know there's been a long-term cover-up of it. We know it's just one window into that world of honeypots. But Trump, over a month ago, as you all know, had the Justice Department put out a memo saying Epstein killed himself and there wasn't human trafficking and there wasn't blackmail and all this ridiculous crap. And when it first came out on that Sunday night and that Monday morning, I said, this is Trump. Trump's ordered this. This wouldn't be done unless he ordered it. And people got mad at me, and days later, he came out and said, yeah, I did it. It's a hoax. He didn't say what the Democrats leak with no proof is a hoax, which has been true so far. No, he just said it's all a hoax. Stop talking about it. The attack reporters have brought it up. And the firestorm became massive, as I predicted, Streisand effects. And about 2 weeks in, he finally reversed and said, fine, release whatever you got, Pam Bondi. And then Roger Stone went and met with him, and they said, release all the grand jury stuff. And now the Democrat judges, the Democrats don't want it released. Ghislaine Maxwell doesn't want it released, as I predicted, because I've done the research. I really first broke this 20 years ago. It's the Democrats. 98% of it is them. And these big corporate leaders like Bill Gates and Prince Andrew and the rest of it. So then I say, well, why is Trump doing this then? Well, it's easy to think. And then I talk to sources. Yeah, the CIA and FBI, turns out they've leaked, the FBI leaked this week. Well, we already knew that Epstein was an FBI informant. So the deep state's come to him and said, listen, we'll roll over, quit opposing you. just, this is too embarrassing, cover it up, which I don't agree with, but I thought that was the logical reason. I never saw any evidence of Trump or anybody close to him involved. And then it sort of subsided. I mean, it really hit him in the polls, real polls, Rasmussen and others. And then today, he's having a press conference about Apple upping its $300 billion investment to $600 billion in the U.S. And he's up there with J.D. Vance and Letnig and the rest of them. And the reporters bait him and say, we hear there's a secret meeting today for the Epstein crisis, because it's subsided a lot. I'd say about 60%. And Trump goes back to what he did a month ago and says, it's all a hoax. It's all crap. Shut up. And then Vance says, hey, we weren't having that meeting. And now CNN and others are like, oh, well, we're not sure there was a meeting, it's, or it was canceled. They created this whole thing to kick this off, and then Trump walks right into the trap. And I'm not a, you know, 5,000-D chess guy, because I actually know about policy with Trump, and we've been able to influence him a lot, and when he's doing something wrong, and can get him to course correct. And a lot of his top advisors, and I've advised him quite a bit. And I've said, you know, this isn't $8 trillion, you know, infinity chess stuff. But then I see the Republicans subpoenaing all the different FBI directors back to Bush, W. Bush, and them trying to block it and totally panic. And I'm like, wow, it really is making it front and center. And it's making this huge issue. And we know it's the Democrats that we know are implicated. And I'm not saying it's, you know, Q-type stuff, but it's having that effect. And now you've got all these grand juries that have finally been impaneled to indict the Democrats on Russiagate and the coup and all that. And this is just crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Trump is not stupid. And he certainly sometimes gets caught off guard with a new issue, been course corrects. But over a month into this, I don't know what to say at this point. I mean, I am actually in a conundrum. I'm godsmacked. I know, and I predicted that they were going to bring out Melania as a hooker that worked for Epstein. We was recycled from 8.5 years ago. Not true. They've already retracted that. I predicted that would happen. I predicted they put some of those Jane Does, turned to be even fake people, didn't exist in there. That's now coming out. So why does he then continue to say it's a Democrat hoax? I mean, they did control the file. Whatever they left the file, the, you know, disinfo, whatever, or they would have already used it. And that's all true when Trump says it, but the way he does it was just brings major attention to it. So I'm just really trying to figure this out. And folks, I get nothing but persecuted for supporting Trump. So I'm not up here defending Trump overall because I get some brownie point with somebody. I like most of what Trump's doing. I'm very thankful Kamala Harris isn't in there. And he also had asked about warp speed and how Kennedy just banned all the mRNA shots. And he said, well, that was then, you know, this is now, and we're getting better stuff. He's backing away from that. That was his mea culpa, was bringing Kennedy in. I know that inside baseball. So I'm very excited about that, taking the floor out of the water, all of it. Bonnie trying to block that. Everybody's saying throw Trump out. Not everybody, but a lot of people saying it. No, I'm very thankful he's in there. And when I criticize Trump, it is to try to keep him true to what we put him in there for. There's a battle over the heart and soul of what Trump's doing right now. But I'm not MAGA. I like MAGA. I'm 1776. People say, why are you criticizing Trump? I'm trying to keep him on the right course. I'm a constituent. I'm a citizen. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a cult member. But I am 1776, and so are you. I am Americana. And I am not a Trump supporter. I'm a Trump backer when he does the right thing. I am a supporter of God, family, and country. But at this point, I could put a video out going, God, look, he looks guilty. Why do this again? Ugh. Like when I got blindsided a month ago, and it'd be out on every TV channel in the country. But I don't care about that. That was my original gut level thing, and I stand behind it because it got some course correction. But now Trump's going the wrong direction again. So I am genuinely trying to tell you what I think. And I'd like to see what you think below about where all this is going. But I am in deep thought trying to understand this. Deep thought. Here's what I know. Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, the head of Harvard, and hundreds of other big CEOs and bankers are on record at that island, and on record in the notes that are already out, getting girls for him and, you know, stuff like that. That's in there. And the former Israeli Prime Minister, Ehud Barak. So I've never seen evidence of Trump involving illegal activity with Epstein, but I do know by saying, let's move on from this, he's joined the cover-up. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to say. Ilhan Omar came out and said that J.D. Vance is having a meeting. They're the pedo protection party. Where it is true that the Trump administration at certain levels has joined in the cover-up for whatever reason, the Democrats are a million times more guilty on record and openly promote pedophilia, sexualization of children, LGBT, drag queen story time, all of it, the transgender cult, taking kids away from their parents, that'll go along with it. We know they are, by their own words, the pedo enabling party. So Ilhan Omar from the famous slave selling country, Somalia, they still sell slaves. Her family's like basically royalty over there, is the pot calling the kettle black. So the Democrats are the pedo party, and why Trump, the first rule of the Justice Department go after the Epstein stuff, is now backing off of it, is very, very sad. So Trump is putting the brakes on the Epstein investigation, and that's wrong. Is he involved? See no evidence. But I still support the good things he's doing, but it makes me sick in my stomach. It makes me very, very sad that this is the direction they're starting to go in, and there's other things happening. Ron Paul says they've betrayed America First, MTG, many others. They are starting to betray America First. They haven't totally gone away from that, but if it continues down this road, we got big problems. And for those who say, screw Trump, don't support him, would you rather Kamala Harris? I mean, I'm asking a serious question. I'm working what we got, and if we take our ball and just go home and just say we're done, well, the Democrats come into that vacuum. And then there's all the Trump supporters. I see them going, don't be a panicking. I'm not a panicking. I'm a pressure. I'm holding the feet to the firing. We brought Trump in, and we're trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. And by that, I make no apology, and I'm very, very proud. Follow me here on X, where Alex Jones, com/show, and I'll see you tomorrow with the weekday show, 11 a.m. Central. We'll be covering this news and other major news tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. Infowars.com/show. But pray for Trump. I think he just gets busy. He goes back to his reflex.
All right. Find and share that at Real Alex Jones, at Real Alex Jones. Who does Trump keep flip-flopping? Why does Trump keep flip-flopping on Epstein? It's a great question. Like Trump, like Alex just said, we got to work with what we got.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason. Because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to the AlexJonesStore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our ultramethylene blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check if there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's ridiculous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.